The ordinance formally awards Phase 1 of the Halibut Point Road Affordable Housing Project to Trapline CDI without really settling the question of what the final project will look like and without any commitment to move on to a Phase 2. Rather, Trapline has secured an option to lease the Old City Shops property on the condition that it submit a 35% design for the project that wins the support of the Assembly by no later than October 1st, the application deadline for the tax credit funding. The proposal's lack of an ownership option was a deal-breaker for Marco Dapsovich, ultimately the lone no vote on the Assembly. Fred Free, with the nonprofit CDI, or Community Development, Inc., reminded the Assembly that he had no leeway on the matter.
As I explained, through the kind of financing we're proposing, it has to be rental housing. It is important that there is affordable homeownership housing in every community as well, and I understand that there are several efforts underway now to provide that. We would even be interested in possibly the rest of the site, once that landslide issue is resolved, being devoted to home ownership, if there seems to be sufficient demand to do that.
The tax credit program is critical to the project. Trapline CDI is competing for federal credits distributed through the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, which provide the bulk of the $8 million in project costs. As a result, the company can rent its units at below-market rates to families who meet specific income requirements. Currently, that means a household income of 60% or less of $75,000, the Sitka median income. A meeting organized by the Sitka Community Development Corporation Monday night to let Trapline's architects discuss their revised plans appears to have won over some members of the public, like Ginny Volney.
I'm not too thrilled about the idea of low-income rental housing, per se. And one thing that I really liked was the range of qualifying incomes allowed for rental in this project, because it opens the project to a broad spectrum of people, and I see multiple pluses for Sitka.
Upland neighbor Pete Jerzak was not quite as enthusiastic. He argued that even with the Monday meeting, the public was getting only a day's notice to review Trapline's latest plans. Still, his rhetoric was softer, and he suggested that while 25 apartment units were in the ballpark, 21 would be better.
And I would like to see that proposal brought back to that number. That was a number that they could work with economically for their proposal. We're still on the same footprint.
Even at 25 units, construction costs pencil out to over $300,000 per unit. Mary Magnuson, whose parents own an Upland home, argued that Sitka could get a bigger bang for its tax credit buck at another site. But Trapline's efforts to improve its conceptual plans encouraged the majority of the Assembly to move forward on the deal once they were assured that they would be able to pull the plug if they were unsatisfied by the proposal when it reaches the 35% design stage. John Sherrod, who voted against the ordinance on first reading 2 weeks ago, said he still preferred ownership over rentals, but he realized that rentals filled a niche in the affordability solution.
With the proper working with the neighbors up there, that a design can be reached that will be acceptable to them, and that everybody will be happy with this. I think we can achieve everybody's objectives. I don't see that as an impossibility at all.
The final vote was 6-1, with Dapsovich opposed. Trapline representatives said they hope to be back in Sitka sometime in June for a public meeting for feedback on their 35% design. For Raven News, I'm Robert Woolsey.